But she goes, but I'm going to do it because I'm excited. So that's what it's like following Jesus. And sometimes it can be the most fearful thing. I experience this all the time when I step out, but also it's exciting. And if you don't get into the joy of stepping out, you're never going to know that, oh, this is exciting, but I'm scared to death. I can't walk on water. What am I doing out here, right? And May had that honor this morning, and it was fun. She was just, that just reminded me of how much joy God wants us to have. And I'll pick up, Father, bless my teaching, open our hearts, open our minds to hear the word of God. Lord, feed your people. Shake them, bake them, help them, Lord. Help us. Put the word of God in us, God. Let us know that this thing's for real. It's not religion. It's not a game. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We can walk on your word. We can live by your word. We can put faith in your word. Your word is powerful. It's sufficient. It speaks to our heart. It edifies us. It builds us up. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Father, let us live by this word. Bring faith to our hearts. Bring encouragement to us. God, help us. We're in a battle down here, and some of us are getting slaughtered. Father, teach us our hands to war. Put words in our mouth. Put faith in our heart. God, build us up today, and do it in spite of Brad. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was talking about our kids and how much we love them, and what I was thinking about my granddaughter. Man, just help me, Jesus, because I want to teach. I'm going to probably wind up preaching. I was thinking about my granddaughter and what I want for her. And just like you, if you have grandkids or you have kids or somebody that you love in your life, when you really love somebody, you're not jealous of that person. You're not in competition with that person. You want them to reach their full potential. It's about potential. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Brad, how much more do I want my sons and daughters to reach their potential? I put gifts in my people. I put callings in my people. I put things inside of them. And just like you're looking at this little bundle of potential, May sings, literally. She dances. She's acrobatic. She has all these. And what I want for her, I just don't want her to be a religious persona. I don't just want her to succeed when she goes in church. I want her to make a success of her life. I want her to overcome her enemies. I want her, when she falls down, to get back up. I want her to succeed. I want her to reach every good thing that's in her. I want her to reach out and grab it. And I'm her grandpa. And if I can do anything to help her, I'm going to help her. It's so simple for me to say this, and I mean it with all my heart. If I would take a bullet for that girl so quick, someone say amen. Amen. Wouldn't you for your kids? Well, how much more? And didn't Jesus take a bullet on the cross for you? Didn't he take your punishment? Didn't he take your sins? And if you can believe it, didn't he take your sickness? Didn't he take your disadvantage? Didn't he take your trials? Didn't he take everything that was due to you? And didn't he take it on? Didn't he take a bullet for you? He did take a bullet for you. And he rose from the dead so he could cheer you on. He rose from the dead so he could send his spirit inside of you. Young ladies, God cares about you, everything about you. He doesn't just care about your religious self. He cares about who you date and when you date them. He cares about where you go to school. He cares about your success because God has a holistic plan for your life. He's not just the God of some glad morning when this life is over, although I love that song. I don't like the weary part. I'm not weary. God's renewing my strength. I never say weary. I just skip it or I say something else. I like the song. But he's not just the God of when we fly away, but he's the God of today. Brother, you have potential. You have gifts in you that you don't know anything about. Until we step out and believe the word of God, we don't even know why we're here. There's a whole world of Gentiles or people that don't know God. They don't even know why they're here. But when you hook into God and you start following the Lord, I read it this morning. He said that the communication of your faith might become effectual by acknowledging every good thing that's in you, Denny. You acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. God has put good things in you because he's put Jesus in you. I know you're not much to look at on your own. I know you're weak on your own. I know you can't do much on your own. I understand that. But when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, you start looking pretty good. You get a little swagger sometimes. Amen? I don't mean haughty. I mean, you start realizing that Jesus is in your jersey and it gives you a little swagger. You start looking a little better in those blue jeans when you realize that Jesus is in you. He kicks your head back. I don't like seeing Christians that are bound up in shame. I hate it. I hate shame. The Bible says that for your shame, God will give you double. He gives you double for your trouble. Are you experiencing trouble? God wants to give you double for your trouble. He said, I'll take away your shame and I'll give you the double. God's not condemning you. The word says, if God be for you, who can condemn you? Not your pastor. The Lord spoke to me in worship this morning, Patty. He said, Brad, there's no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. Don't worry about anything. I said, I believe you, Lord. I'll just take that. I'll just take that, Lord. No weapon formed against me can prosper. My righteousness isn't what I do. My righteousness comes from God. I'm standing here righteous before you because Jesus is righteous. My righteousness is from God, and I'm going to stand in it. And I'm going to war, and I'm going to fight with it. If I had to fight with my two-bit righteousness, Charlie, I'd go down every time. I'm standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. There's no other rock. There's nothing else to stand on. It's His righteousness. It's in me. It's working in me. It's moving in me. It's giving me. I may not be what I want to be, but I'm not what I was. I used to be something else other than what I am. I haven't reached my full potential yet, but I'm not done yet. And God, in the eons of time, Sandy's going to be working on you. He's chiseling away at you. I'm standing in Christ today. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen? Amen? I can't complain about anything. What have I got to complain about? What have I got to complain about? Jesus died for me on a tree. God is for me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I'm made in the image of God. I'm going to live forever. The Bible says I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and I believe it. I may not be experiencing it now, but I'm growing into it. It's like those kids. This is what I feel like sometimes, Matt. I'm like those kids that their daddy has a size 12 boat shoe, right? That's pretty big for me. And I got a size 4, and I'm stepping into my daddy's shoes. And I'm not doing a real good job of walking around in them, but I'm acting more and more like daddy all the time. And I'm growing into those shoes. Jesus gave you a pretty big pair of shoes, and they may not fit perfect right now, but your feet are growing, Rodney. Your feet are growing. The word says in Ephesians 4, you're growing up into the image of Him. You are growing up into the image of Him. Your feet are growing, Tommy. Hang in there. Don't give up because God is for us. He's not against us. My message today is about the real battle because I have been keenly aware that many of us are in the wrong battle. It's like the Germans are coming over the hill in Normandy and they're fighting and we hit the beaches. And the Germans are there shooting at our boys, and they're knocking them down. And our boys are getting shot down. And then there's somebody else. He landed on a beach somewhere, somewhere down in Spain. They got blown off course, and they're fighting, but they're not fighting the real battle. They're fighting the wrong battle. The Word of God says that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And I believe sometimes the church thinks that God is their problem, or that maybe their neighbor is their problem, or their brother and sister is your problem. Your brother and sister, I want to bury this thing down into the concrete. Your brother and sister are not your problem. They're your privilege. I want to throw my Bible right there. I do have a window. I just throw my Bible out of it right there. Your brother and sister are not your problem. They are your privilege. By the grace of God, you get to serve them. By the grace of God, you get to serve them. They're image bearers of God. They're image bearers of Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, the seed of God is in you. You're not my problem. You're my privilege. We don't wrestle against one another. We don't wrestle. The Word of God even says that we're to love our enemies. Let alone our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are to love our enemies because our real battle, ladies and gentlemen, is against Satan. And if you don't know what Satan looks like, everything negative in your life is satanic. Every negative force, every judgment, every bitter word that's spoken against you, every depression, every isolation, everything that comes to separate you from the knowledge of God is your enemy. God saves you. cleanses you in His blood, fills you with the Holy Spirit, and He sets you on your way. And this is what we lose sight of. When God sets us on the way, we have an enemy. Folks, you have an enemy. You have forces out there in the world that are trying to stop you from being healed, trying to stop you from being healed, trying to stop you from seeing your grandkids grow up. Forces out there are trying to get you in the molly grubs, trying to make you negative. There's forces out there that are trying to bring you to shame. If Satan could get anybody in this room to go out and commit a heinous sin, the first thing he would do is he would put it on Fox 28. He would put it on CNN or MSNBC, and he would broadcast it, because his desire is to bring you shame. He wants your downfall. He wants to bury you so low that you can never get up. And if he can't do that, then he wants to turn everybody in the church against you, to point fingers at you and get mad at you and fight in war. Because once you figure out that your enemy is not your brother and sister, that your enemy is not God, and you figure out that your enemy is the devil and you go to war against him, his goose is cooked. That's the day he's done. Because Christ lives in you, and that's the hope of glory. That means if Christ is in you, you have his authority inside of you, not a half-baked authority. You have the authority of Christ in you. If his Spirit lives in you, then it must be his authority. How many of you know that Jesus gave his name to the church as a gift? Honestly, who knows that? He gave you his name to use. So all power and authority has been given to me. Go you therefore. He said, go in my name. You read the book of Acts and what they did in the name of Jesus. They had the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is authority. It represents everything that Jesus did for you or did for humanity. The church has been given the name of Jesus as a weapon. How many of us use that name? How many of you, when things come against you, rather than turn and complain or start worrying, and I understand, I do the same. I got stuff that happens to me, and I do the same thing. But how much of the time we forsake grace because we don't understand, oh, this is a trial. The Word of God says, I'm supposed to count this all joy, this trial, because God's working something in my life. God is working, Alvin, an eternal weight of glory. These temporary things that are coming at you on God's end is just working an eternal weight of glory. He's putting character in you. He's putting his nature in you. He's putting his power in you. He's putting something in you that can't be defeated. And so when circumstances come at you and the winds blow, he is saying, Alvin, tap into my son. I have made you an overcomer. I've made you a person that can get up from any temptation and any trial. I've given you victory. Stand in it. And he wants you to grow. On God's end, when the trials come, that's why the trials come. I'm not saying God permits them. I don't know all the dynamics of every trial in your life. But on God's end, he knows that he's put Jesus in you. And when the trial comes, he says, get him, Caitlin. Get him. Stand up. Get him. And he's rooting for you like you would be your grandkid. Come on. You can't get that hit for your grandkid. You can't go up to bat for them. They have to go up to bat. Amen? But you're there saying, come on. You got Kittle in you. You got Kulikowski in you. You've got Wilson in you. Amen? You've got Ramsey in you. You've got Marty in you. You've got Lewis in you. Come on, you can do it. You're a Lewis. You can do it. God's saying, you've got Jesus in your jersey. You can do it. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Get back up to the plate. Stop. It's not three strikes and you're out. My kid gets 10, and if he needs 11, he's going to get 11. Get back up there. God will give you as many strikes as you need because you got Jesus' genes in you. So when trials come to you, don't be amazed. Don't think, well, why is God doing this? He ain't doing anything. Your enemy's the devil. Your enemy's the devil. Or when we turn on each other because we don't understand why this is going on and we're not happy and we're dissatisfied and the devil's got you tied up in a knot and he's deceiving you, so you're going to attack your brother and sister because you just don't know what you're doing. You know, you're fighting the wrong battle. You're on the wrong beach. You're supposed to be on Utah Beach. You're supposed to be on Omaha Beach and you're down in Spain. Amen? Get back up on Utah Beach. Your brothers and sisters need you on that beach. They need your Bangalores. They need your grenades and they need your machine guns because we have an enemy that's fighting all of us. God has showed me so clearly, Brad, I've given you grace. You know everything you've done in your life. I think I'm going too fast, but I can't help it. I'm doing okay. I trust you. I'm looking at you. He said, Brad, I've given you grace. I've given you mercy. You know everything you've done. You know how you were feeling last week. I've given you grace. Give it to everybody else. Just keep giving grace. Keep giving grace. I'll judge people in the last day. I'll thin it out around here. I'll take care of it. I'll judge people that need judged. You don't have to worry about it. In fact, the universe is just too big on your shoulders, Brad. The universe is weighing you down. Why don't you let me handle the universe and you worry about your little world that I gave you to worry about? You got your, you know, what is this, 10 cubic space area? You worry about that right there, mostly here. This is the world that you got to worry about. It's right in here called your brain. You worry about that. And I'll take care of the universe. I said, thank you, God, because it was too much to carry. I can't even carry Grace Point. You folks wear me out. I want a church of 1,000. I can't even handle you guys. I love you, though. I love you. We, folks, that's we give grace because we got grace. Those that are forgiven much, they forgive much. Amen? Where's the battle? Folks, when you enter into a battle, you got to know who your enemy is. You've got to know what your... I'll read a scripture to make it official here in a minute. I will. I got to figure out which one. Amen. I'll get it in there. You got to know who your enemy is. You got to know what you're fighting against. You know, I got some bad news this week, and my first reaction is the same as yours. I wanted to wrestle in my flesh. I wanted to figure it out. How many of you, when someone does something, I don't understand why they're doing this, and I don't get it, and Jesus, why don't they do this, and God, I don't understand. And he goes, Brad, you don't have to understand. Just love them. I made it really simple for you. Love them. Love them. Let people have free will. People are going to do whatever they're going to do. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's not. You love them. Brad, what did I tell you to do? Where did I point your face? What's your mission? What did I give you to do? Focus on that. Love people, forgive people, and keep your face on me, because Brad, you cannot help but succeed if you follow my steps. You cannot help but succeed. If you follow me, you will get to where God said go. If you follow me, you're going to wind up exactly where you... But if you start looking around at people, it's like the wind and the waves and things blowing here and things blowing there. And pretty soon you're like, help me, Jesus, I'm sinking. And he helps you. Pulls you right back up and says, okay, focus on me. Look at me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I'm not looking at people. My faith is in you. God, what did you say? I'm looking. What does your word say? I was in the word this week. I almost preached on Psalms chapter 1. It was so good. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, in the advice, in the direction of the ungodly. But his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And that person will be like a tree that's planted by the water, living water, and you will bring forth fruit in your season. Your leaf also will not wither. Whatever you do, Talon, will prosper. Who? The guy that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't stand in the way of the sinner, who doesn't sit in the seat of the mocker. He's done looking around at people. He's done looking around at the devil. And he's looking at God and saying, God, what are you saying? And he learns to walk by faith. I know what Paul meant now when he said, none of these things move me. Although I haven't gone through a fraction of what Paul went through. Probably not a fraction of what you've gone through, Charlie. But I know what he means. He says, none of these things move me. I'm on Utah Beach. I've got my assignment. I got a Bangalore, and I'm going to blow a hole in that wall so my brothers and sisters can jump over it and take care of those Nazis. I know what I'm doing, Jesus. I know my assignment. Nothing else moves me. I got bombs going off to the left. I've got bombs going off to the right. I even have a guy behind me that almost shot me. Amen. I have a guy, one of my own guys almost shot me. But I know my mission. None of these things move me. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm not moved by anything but the Word of God. Amen. Woman does not live but by anything, by bread only, but we live by the Word of God. What's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? What's God talking to you about? What's God telling you He's got in store for you? I know it's good because God's good. And anytime God gives you something good, I can prove it to you. Anytime God gives you something good, I guarantee you the devil's behind trying to discourage you, trying to take it away from you. He's that big bully. He's always trying to take it from you. You know how it is. You have people in the natural. You get ahead a little bit. You start doing good. You start making progress, and they'll start talking about you. You know, who does that man think he is up there singing that, playing with that ukulele? You know, I mean, that's when you start moving ahead in life and people start criticizing you. The man that's doing something is always subjected to criticism, but I'd rather be doing something for God. I'd rather be doing something in my life than be standing around criticizing people that are at least in the game. I want to know who's on the beach with me. This is a war. We're in a real battle. There's a real hell. There's a real devil. People are really suffering. I meet people every day that are suffering, that don't know God, that are confused. They're sick. They're getting divorced. Trials and tribulations every day because we're in a real battle. Who thinks this is heaven down here? I mean, life can be good. Life can be good with Jesus. Me and Pammy, we play rummy almost once every day. We make a cup of tea, and we have ginger snap cookies, and we dip them in there and eat ginger snap cookies. It almost feels like heaven, right? I mean, life can be good, thank God. But in the midst of all the good things, there's also bad things going on. We got good things going on in our life. We got bad things going on in our life. Folks, you're in a battle. And I realized it this week. And I made more of a determination to plant my feet on the Word of God. And God, the only thing I care about, if Pam is just sitting on the front row alone, as long as we can financially swing this thing, I'll come in and preach to Pam and I'll keep believing what you're telling me. I am determined to believe God. How about you? The reason May, and I'm not boasting, I'm boasting in God. The reason May has spent the night the last 2 months with us, and you don't know the story, is because Pam and I decided we were going to do what God told us to do. Amen? Amen. I went in to visit a guy in jail this week. And I'm not going to say who it was. I went to visit a guy in jail, and God gave me a gift of faith. And I went in and sat down, and I said, I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to answer my prayer. That's pretty bold, isn't it? He said, well, there's a possibility that I can get out of here, and they got beds here, and you know, I'm supposed to be in jail for 6 months. It was a parole violation. He said, but they're talking about maybe they'll do this. I'm going to pray, and it's going to happen for you before January's over. And I prayed. I said, God, give him a bed. Open that door for him. You're going to do it. You hear me. I'm your son. I know you don't want him in here. This whole thing is kind of ridiculous why he's in jail. Do it. I prayed for it. I believe God. I walked out of there. And 2 hours later, I got a message from his wife and said, my husband just called me. 5 minutes after you left, his lawyer walked in and said, they've approved your bed. You're going to be staying in Dayton, Ohio for 6 months. You're getting out of jail as soon as the bed's open. Amen? Yeah. Ain't that awesome? Well, that was a gift of faith God gave me. I tell you, I want to believe God, don't you? I want to pray prayers that I know God hears me. I want to pray for sick people and know God's going to do what I'm believing Him to do. How about you? I want to pray for myself and know that God hears what I'm praying. How about you? The Word of God says whatever you ask for in prayer, if you believe it, God will do it. You don't even have to be a Pentecostal to get that prayer answered. You don't have to listen to Brother Womack to get that prayer answered. You don't have to believe Brother Hagin to get that prayer answered. Do I got a Bible around here? There it is. You don't have to even speak in tongues to believe that. Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, whatever you ask God for, and if you believe it, it'll happen. And it said, if it don't happen, speak to that mountain until it goes. I got things in my life, Gary, I'm speaking to the mountain. I prayed. I'm a little close to you, ain't I? I prayed. I believe God. I didn't see it. I am speaking to the mountain. I'm determined to believe God. How about you? And you know, and that's why, folks, that's why we need each other. I'm not here to condemn you if you're struggling. I'm here to stand beside you and say, Patty, I'm for you. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. I know God's got a call on your life. I'm standing. I command that hip to be healed in Jesus' name. Obey me. Obey me. Obey Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. I want to believe God. That's how things get done. The Word of God says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we'll be discouraged like that. You want to know how you know if the Spirit of God is leaking out of you? You're always discouraged. You're always complaining. You're always pointing. No one here is like that, I know. I know that. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people that didn't come to church today. Well, maybe. Okay, let's. I'm talking about somebody out there. You're always discouraged. You're always pointing the finger at somebody. You're always complaining. Folks, that is not the way of faith. The way of faith is, God, I'm not moving. I think in the Bible, faith was, I don't care if they kill me. I ain't bending. I ain't bowing to the Antichrist. I'm not bowing down. Turn up the fire. Turn up the flame. Send in the lions. I'm not moving. None of these things move me. God, you spoke to me. I'm doing what you told me to do, and I'm going to stand here, hell or high water. Amen? Amen? If you believe that God spoke to you, that's how you should live. God cannot lie. I'm not making this up. God cannot lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. You just got to determine that you're going to stand on what God has told you until it comes to pass. Because you have an enemy. You don't wrestle flesh and blood. You're at war. We're at war for our kids. You and we're both of us. I'm at war for my kids. You're at war for your kids. You're at war for your legacy. You're at war for your grandkids. You're at war for your ministry. You're every area of your life. Satan wants to knock you out of it. He wants you to be divorced. He wants you and your kids fighting. He wants you fussing with people at work. He wants you criticizing your pastor. He wants you in the molly. He wants you to give up on helping those kids from Haiti. He'll do anything to get you quit. God gave you a promise, and he's going to bring it to pass, and Satan wants you to give up on it. I'll just give up. We're not giving up people. And I'll tell you what your problem is. Can I tell you what your problem is? I know what your problem is. Can I tell you? You have Jesus inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he won't let you quit. You keep wanting to quit. How do you know, Brother Brad? Because I keep wanting to quit. You keep wanting to quit, but you got some resurrection power inside of you that says, no, you ain't quitting. I'm inside of you. I'm going to bug you until you let me out. Jesus is in there saying, let me out. Let me out. I can take care of this. He sees Goliath coming. Jesus inside of you, and you're getting afraid of Goliath, and you're backing up, and Jesus is in there saying, let me out! Let me out! I can take care of this guy. How do you let him out? You open your mouth, you throw the Word of God in your mouth, and you say, I am going to take off your head. I'm about 4'3", and I am going to take off your head, because that's God talking out of you. Get tired of, quit saying your own words. Let God talk out of you. Charlie and I were in here praying last night, and God started talking through us, didn't he? God had this church with 1,000 people in it last night or something. Should have been. God had this victory everywhere. When you open that spirit up and you start letting God, a warrior comes out of you. I know you're not much to look at. I've said that twice now. That's for somebody. But you got a champion. You've got a champion on the inside of you, and his name is Jesus, and he knows how to roar. He does. The Word of God says in 1 John, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So don't be surprised if you get afflicted and attacked, and he attacks your faith when you dare to believe God. When you dare to step out on the Word, when you think God might have given you a word of knowledge, when you dare, you are going to be counterpunched. Some of your greatest battles are right after your greatest victories and vice versa. This is what I read. I was a little discouraged this week. This is what I read. The Holy Spirit. You know what I do when I feel discouraged? I go in my room and I crack my Bible open. I go in my room and I say, God, talk to me. Because I feel bad. And he says, well, quit, Quit going by your feelings, Brad. Come on, God, help me. And I start praying and talking to the Lord. And I'll say, God, come on. I need your help, God. And the Lord will start speaking to me. He said, Brad, don't be discouraged. You can write these scriptures down. In 2 Timothy 1:15 and 2 Timothy 4:9, Paul was deserted. It says Paul was deserted. Anybody ever been deserted? How's that feel? 2 Timothy 2:3, 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul suffered hardship. Paul went through hardship. Things got hard, Charlie. It wasn't always easy. I'm a faith guy. I'm not telling you it's always going to be easy, but I am telling you it's going to be worth it. I am telling you it's going to be worth it, but it may not be easy. You want those kids saved? You want those grandkids saved? You're going to have to fight. You want a better job? You want a better life? You got someone that's trying to pull you down every day. Don't let them. And Paul said in 2 Timothy, I think it's 1:8 and 1:12, he said he had to suffer. He was suffering. I didn't get the verse for it, but my fourth thing was Paul was betrayed. Jesus said, in the last days, brother will betray brother. In the last days, you'll be betrayed by your brother. In 2 Timothy 2:9, Paul said, I was treated like a criminal. You've been treated like a criminal this week? In 2 Timothy 2:25 and 4:15, Paul said that I suffered opposition. Linda, there were things that came against me. I was believing God, and I had things come against me, weird things. Peter said peculiar trials, strange trials, weird trials. Like, I've never heard of anybody being tried like this before. There's opposition. Jacob, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have to fight against the flow. The grace of God is the strength that God will give you to fight the battle. The grace of God is His Spirit in you that fills you and gives you the strength that you can stand up in the midst of the battle and say, I am more than a conqueror. In the midst of the battle, you don't get that on your own strength. You get that from the Lord when you prioritize Him and say, I'm going to follow you. If everyone leaves me, I am going to follow you. I am not going to be moved. I made my mind up. When the prophets of Baal came against Elijah, he said, how long are you going to have two minds? How long are you going to be jumping back and forth? I am, I'm not. I believe, I don't believe. How long will you be double-minded? If God is God, then serve Him. If God's not God, then go serve Baal. Eat, drink, and be merry, because you're going to be dead tomorrow anyway. We'll all come over to your house for beer and chips and watch the Super Bowl together. You have opposition. In 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, everyone, that means everybody in this room, everyone who determines to live a godly life will suffer persecution. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have things come against you. But the same Paul that said that, he said that I know who I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. That's the day of judgment. That's the day, capital D. He's able to do it. So I don't know where we're at today in your battle. And you're in a battle. Are you in a battle? I'm in a battle. You are in a battle. And I don't know where you're at in this battle. I don't know if you're on the coast of Spain, if you're lying dead on Omaha Beach and you need resurrected today. I don't know if you got that bangalore and you're charging. I don't know where you're at in your battle, but you're in a battle, and there are things that God has told you about yourself. There are things that God has told you to do. There are things in your life that are being challenged, and God is looking at you even beyond how I look at my granddaughter. I look at my granddaughter and I say, what potential. What a beautiful girl. Oh my goodness, what I would give to see her succeed in life. God's looking at you that way. Oh, what potential. I see Jesus in this young man here. What potential he has. Oh my goodness, I can see them. Look at the gifts I put in that young man. I made him a preacher. I've done, and he sees all of that, and he's constantly trying to pull that out of you. He's saying, take that step. Make that phone call. Pray that prayer. do that next thing that I put into you. You will succeed if you don't give up. You're going to get where God told you to go if you don't quit. Quitters lose. If you're in God's kingdom, if you don't, he says it 1,000 ways, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. Amen? You will reap if you, and look, in the middle of the battle, things get snappy. Folks, don't turn on your brother and sister. If your brother and sister gets weird, pray for them. If they get kind of snarky, just pray for them. If you get deserted in the middle of the battle, just pray for them. They're going through something. They're just like you. Have you ever deserted anybody in the middle of a battle? I have. I've left people in the middle of battles and stuff before. I'm just like anybody else. So you determine that you're going to pray for them until they come through. Here's what I want to do. Amy, would you come up? It's 11:44. We got all kind of time. This is how I wanted to do it. That one song that you played, Presence. Talon, can you come up, or can you, maybe your grandma can watch the little one. It's 11:44. I'm 15 minutes early today. Isn't that good? Someone say amen. Amen. You can get down to River's Edge or Watts before the Methodists get in there, and that's a miracle. I think Jason told me he preaches 20 minutes. I think that's what he told me. You're kidding me. I'm not even warmed up in 20 minutes. I want to pray for you, and more importantly, if you know that Brother Brad, that is me. I don't even know the battle I'm fighting, but I know I'm not fighting the right one, and I need grace today to see the real enemy and to get back on track. I'm going to open the altar, and I want you to come up, throw your hands in the air, worship God, give it to him. If you've been talking about someone, just repent of it. If you've been fighting with somebody, repent of it. Turn your gaze to Jesus. If you want to plant your flag today and say, I'm not moving off of what God's told me to do, I'm planting my flag today. And I mean, you mean it. Don't make this up. I'm going to plant my flag. You want to do that. Or you need grace. You need help in the battle. Come forward. Raise your hands. Worship God. And that Pam and I will pray for you before you go. Everybody stand up, please. It's 11:45. Just line up around across the front.